ANZ Voices welcomes you to the Business of Bloodstock podcast with co-hosts Justin Darcy and Taylor Dyke.
Welcome to episode 31 of the Business of Bloodstock podcast, proudly sponsored by Morgan & English Law Firm. I'm Justin Darcy, and joining me today is co-host Taylor Dyke, along with our special guest, Henry Field. Managing Director at one of Australia's operationally largest studs, Newgate Farm, Henry heads the home of a roster of 16 stallions, from Golden Slipper winners to Coolmore Stud Stakes winners and even a Cox Plate winner. Not only do the stallions hold the race records, but also the prestige in the barn, being the home of Australia's statistically most elite stallion extreme choice. Not only one of the country's leading stallion farms, but also in the sales ring, Henry and the team at Newgate will send a draft of over 50 to the 2026 Magic Million sale with class from top to bottom. Henry, welcome to the Business of Bloodstock.
Hey, Justin, Taylor, how are you guys doing?
Very good, thank you, mate. Very happy to have you on today. Firstly, what we want to talk about is just a little bit about you and I guess what got you started in the industry and where you found your passion for the thoroughbred and the bloodstock industry.
Yeah, initially I grew up on a farm when I was very young, and my grandparents, they had a cattle farm. My dad had a cattle farm and both had some mares, and I used to ride my pony, and sort of the love of the horse got me interested. And I used to go to the races as a young fellow with my father and my grandfather, which was very special. And then into high school, I went to boarding school in Sydney, and I started working for Gate Waterhouse on my Sundays and school holidays, and that was really which sort of got me into the industry. And from there, I finished school. I was full time for Gate for a year or two, and then did the Flying Start course. And then from the Flying Start course, I spent 5 years with Coolmore, and all amazing experiences. And then after that period, I leased a small little farm, which is the old Wakefield stud in Scone, and started Newgate.
We'll just bounce back there, and obviously Gay is such a exceptional talent in the industry and such a great harnessing talent, and a lot of people have started their careers and had Gay give them a lot of advice and guidance. But then obviously after your time with Gay and school, you did the Flying Start, good old Flying Start program. Can you tell us a bit about how important this program was, obviously, to see the world and the way the different training and breeding operations work compared to what we see in Australia, and I guess just what that incredible experience would have been like?
Yeah, it was incredible. It was really incredible. We were in the very first year of it, and so it was all a bit of a learning curve for us and a learning curve for Dali Godolphin as we were navigating our way around the world on this course. But it was very, very special. We got to get lectures and meet so many of the industry leaders around the world, and certainly took away so much, learned so much from it. Really opened my eyes to what was possible in the industry, and it was phenomenal. I think working for Gay was actually a great platform before it, because I've never seen anyone work harder than her. She's the hardest working individual at her peak. She was just nonstop. And the thing I'm a really good friend of her son, Tom's, and daughter, Kate. And the thing I'd say about Gay, which I admired the most, is she would work literally 15, 16-hour days every day, but was as good a mother as there was of any of the parents of our friends growing up at school. So, you know, huge admiration for her, and that really got me into a good platform to go to do the Flying Start, which to this day is still an amazing course. We have graduates that, you know, spend time at Newgate every year, and we have a number of graduates working have worked for us, including Neve O'Brien, who's such an integral part of our team now. All phenomenal experiences, you know, getting me the experience needed and giving me the imagination, I suppose, I required to try and build a business like Newgate.
Definitely. Obviously, after you finished the Flying Start program, you actually worked with Coolmore, as some people might not know. Obviously, they are a fellow powerhouse in the industry. What did you take away and learn from your time with them?
Yeah, it was an amazing time working for Coolmore as well. So I worked with them in Ireland, some time at Braden and Yearlings in Ballydoyle, which was phenomenal. And then I went to Kentucky and did a season with the Stallions, and then came back to Australia and did, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years working for Michael Kirwan and Peter O'Brien and Tom Agnew. It was a great time, and was fortunate to be able to do everything at Coolmore, from manage the Ewings for a period, sold nominations, worked on all different parts of the farm. Really got a very broad experience there, and had a great time of it. And got to a point where I thought, I'll have a crack myself, and that was 2010, and potentially went in with a bit of blind ambition and for the best, and certainly had some challenges on the way through, but very fortunate to sort of build Newgate from what was a little leased farm to, I think last year we bred the most mares of any stay-in farm in Australia. So it's been a great journey, and wouldn't have been possible without my partners, Gavin Murphy of SF Bloodstock and Matthew Samblom, who have been, both great business partners, but great mentors as well, exceptionally successful in their own fields and businesses, and very lucky to be able to work with them and learn so much from them as we built the business up over the years.
At what point did you feel it was the right time to take that leap of faith to start up Newgate Farm? It's not every day where that there's an opportunity to start up a farm like this, and knowing yourself that this is the right time in my life, this is the right time for the industry to have a new farm, and for yourself, I've got no doubt the big ambitions that you would have had originally starting the farm. At what point did you go, this is right now, this is right, the right time right now?
Well, interestingly, it probably didn't, when I started in 2010, I probably didn't have grand ambitions to have a stallion operation or anything. I just leased Wakefield, which was a great farm to lease to start off with, a couple of 100 acres, and had some mares, and we bought and sold horses and buy weanlings, and we'd just trade away, and had some really good, some really good boarding clients, like my first few clients that we had on the farm. Nick Vast is still a client at Newgate now, and Edmund and Belinda Bateman, Belinda was at Newgate last week, through James Harron, who's their agent, who we're very fortunate that they're still clients of ours now, all these years on, through what we've been through. So we really didn't have such huge ambition when we started. But in 2012, 2013, a couple of things happened that probably changed the course of building Newgate. One was that the Batemans had Foxridge that won a Group 1 race, the William Reid, and they kindly gave me the opportunity to syndicate the horse, which we did, and did that in conjunction with SF Bloodstock, who sort of were a key part of putting the syndicate together with me. And then this amazing property, which was Brooklyn Lodge, came up for sale, and we bought it, and essentially with SF Bloodstock and Matthew. So the three of us went into the business together, and Gavin, Gavin Murphy's wife Catherine and my wife Louise, and we bought it, and so we're fortunate to be able to sort of build the partnership together to buy the farm and bring our first stallion on, and then from there it just kept happening. We'd put stallion deals together, and it sort of built from there, and we've been very fortunate to bring some great stallion prospects into the farm, and incredibly fortunate to stand the best stallion in the country, Extreme Choice. So it's been an amazing journey, and we're very lucky how it's all panned out.
Speaking of those stallions, we'll touch on some of those previous and current stallions you've had and have at Newgate. The first one we'll touch on is Deep Field. Obviously, he's a four-time champion sire in Hong Kong. Unfortunately, yep. He was pensioned early in his career, but he certainly made an impact from the word go in 2015.
Yeah, he was raised by Alan Bell and Kiora, and we bought a big chunk of him, and he was an amazing stallion. He was he was a very popular horse through Lovely Stock. Was a really important stallion for us, and unfortunately, as can happen, his fertility sort of midway through his life went south. The unfortunate realization that he was just completely infertile, like he's. His last, I think, 40 mares didn't go on foal, and we had to pull them out of service. So it was very disappointing. But that can happen. The one thing about this business is we're dealing with animals, and which certainly, you know, creates a little bit more risk in what you do. But he was a great stay-in for us, and we certainly did very well out of him. And he you know, obviously a champion sire in Hong Kong many times, and a terrific stay-in in Australia. And you know, we're very lucky to have him, and he still lives here on the farm, and we look after him well.
From 2016 to 2017, you made a big change to your stallion roster, and obviously I would say it's probably one of the more influential changes that you made, and that was to have, yeah, you had a few recruits that year, but you had two very big names, the first being Capitalist. He was the Golden Slipper winner, raced by James Harran. How important has he been for your business, given the continued success we've seen Capitalist have both in the ring and on the track, especially as juveniles?
Yeah, he's been a great stallion. I mean, he's a like a top 10 sire the last couple of years. He also is a very good stallion in Hong Kong. He's got a number of sons at stud. He's got three sons at stud already. Gets very fast, mature horses. So he was a champion first season sire. So he was a really important stallion for us, and he's a really important stallion for us. And, you know, I think the great thing with Capitalist is he's one of those stallions that he's been a consistently good sire of black type horses and fast mature horses from his first crop, and I think he's going to be one of those stallions that's going to be a really important part of the roster for many years to come. So he was very good. That same year we also brought on Extreme Choice and also Flying Artie. So you know, three really good horses, and Flying Artie obviously now stands at Blue Gum, but he's doing an amazing job as a stallion, even though we stand him down in conjunction with Blue Gum, and obviously Extreme Choice, who has fertility issues, but in spite of that, he's been just the most phenomenal stallion. He's, you know, to think you could have a sire that's, you know, from basically his first 100 runners could have a Golden Slipper winner and a Melbourne Cup winner is something which you wouldn't dream of. He may well go down as good a stallion as has ever been in this country. He's quite a phenomenon, and he's been very good this season. The Jim Carrey and Jackson Beers, that they do a great job managing him, and Rachel Saffer, who looks after all our mares. They've done an amazing job with his fertility, and he's on track to have his best season ever.
We're going to fast forward a little bit to a few of your newer boys as well. Obviously, the word growth is very relative to, I think, yourself and Newgate, especially given your large roster of stallions and continual growth in the industry, whether it be in the ring or in the barn. But again, when I talk about growth here, I'm talking classes of stallions. And firstly, stay inside. No doubt close to your heart with the King Star brand, Golden Slipper winner. He's most farm owners' dreams to probably have stand at their stud. How's he been received early days?
Yeah, I mean, he's a Golden Slipper winner by the best dame in the country, and his first three runners have all been, his first three runners have all been winners. So he couldn't have started any better. He throws lovely stock, very good temperaments, good movement. Very straightforward horses, a bit like the Extreme Choices. And, so far, so good. Matthew obviously bred him, and I bought half of them as a foal off Matthew at the weanling sales, as my usual pinocking. And we sold them to Michael Freeman and Rick Connolly as a yearling, and ended up being fortunate to be able to buy him back after he's second start. We bought a good chunk of him. We realized that he was a good, very, very good horse, and it was a great joy seeing him in the Golden Slipper. So he couldn't have started any better, and I think he'll be a very important horse for us.
He was a star on the track, and he looks that he's certainly following up the track performance with his on track to be a fantastic sire. Obviously, another one of your newer boys is Osmosis. He was obviously a Coolmore Stud Stakes winner, Bayazoo star, and showed group one ability from early on in his career. You were on track for that Flemington win, and we've seen the scenes of you in the mounting yard celebrating pretty hard. Reflecting on that day, can you describe sort of the emotion and just what it's like to be involved with a Coolmore winner and knowing you're going to stand the superstar colt one day?
Yeah, it was a great day. I think Bjorn was probably a bit more excited than anyone else. He was on fire, but he was a horse that I really have a lot of time, a lot of expectation of Osmosis's study, and he showed great brilliance at the early trials. He was a horse that Bjorn had an unbelievable opinion of, and obviously, you know, was an unbeaten 2-year-old that ended up winning a Coolmore. He's by Zoustar. He's the fourth line in that sire line to win a Coolmore. Obviously, in Costa de Lager, Northern Media, Zoustar, Osmosis. So yeah, and his foals are spectacular. His foals really are very, very good. So he's a horse that we've got a lot of time for, and a horse that I think, based on the quality of his foals and his profile as a stallion, I think we've got, you know, got a lot to look forward to.
Do you ever look at the roster or go for a walk around the farm and sort of reflect and see and notice the change that you've taken the business on in the last 10 or so years? And I guess going back to that key word that we mentioned before, growth, is that, you know, I could imagine if that was probably myself or Taylor, we'd be walking around and probably gobsmacked by what's being created in that 10-year period.
It's a funny thing. It's not really how I think. I'm sort of more... I'm probably more always looking to see how we can keep getting better and keep, you know, trying to get an edge or an improvement, or, you know, it's a very tough business, right? You know, it's not an easy business. So you've always got to be just totally focused on trying to bring the next stallion in, on trying to develop the next stallion, on trying to raise the best horses you can raise, having the best people around you, have around you. And we're very fortunate. We've got an amazing, amazing group of stallion prospects. We've got a phenomenal group of clients that board mares in the farm. Outstanding breeds, outstanding people, and some really good stock. We've raised unbelievable amount of good horses on the farm. We've had like 2 slip winners raced through in the last 5 years, and yeah, we have a phenomenal number of stakes winners that come off the farm every year. And that really comes down to a combination of the quality of stock that our clients kindly entrust us with. That's obviously, if you haven't got the genetics, you haven't got anything, you've got no chance. We've got a great pool of mares in the farm. We haven't got a huge number of mares. Like, we've probably averaged following down 130 mares a year the last few years. So it's not, we probably have a lot less mares than, you know, on the farm than maybe some of the other big stallion farms, but we're happy with that. We just want to have quality mares and really know our produce, know our stock well. So wonderful clients that keep good quality mares on the farm, and then we've got great team headed by Jim Kerry, that amazing horse people, that, you know, the attention to detail is phenomenal. And I think by keeping our numbers at a relatively manageable, you know, size, it gives us a good opportunity to keep raising good horses and keep, you know, churning out, you know, lots of winners. We're totally focused on trying to produce winners. You know, I think that's, you know, I think that is an obvious thing to say, but, you know, we'd rather get less in the sales ring and more on the track. We'd obviously like to do well in the sales ring, well on the track, but if you don't get winners, you've got nothing. And you know, and I think with how we raise our horses and how we manage our horses, I think gives them a great opportunity.
This episode is brought to you by Morgan & English Commercial Lawyers, more than just a law firm. They work like external in-house counsel, getting to know you and your business. With offices in Sydney, Scone and Tamworth, and years of experience in the agriculture and thoroughbred industries, Morgan & English deliver practical solutions that work in the real world. Whether it's contracts, disputes, or big picture advice, they're the kind of firm you want in your corner. You've mentioned a few names associated to Newgate across the course of this podcast so far, including one just then. We're going to run through a few of them, and the first one I want to talk about is Jim Kerry. How important is he for Newgate and how your business runs day to day?
Yeah, Jim's a star. Obviously, I worked with Jim at Coolmore 20 years ago, and he was a phenomenal horseman then. He's a phenomenal horseman now. You know, I would trust him with my life. You know, he's an incredible human being as well as an incredible horseman. And he's a really fantastic stud manager to have on the farm.
Another product of the Gay Waterhouse system and former podcast guest, Bruce Slade. He's obviously a crucial part of your team at Newgate as well.
Yeah, Bruce is very important. Bruce has been, we've been working together, Bruce and I, for a long time. Highly intelligent, very effective, very positive person. He's a real star, Bruce, and he's got a great bloodstock mind. His integrity is just as good as there is in the business, and he's an incredible individual. Another guy we have on the farm who's been pivotal to the operation is Tony O'Driscoll, our CFO, who was a CFO at Coolmore for a long time, and we're fortunate that he took a few years off from the industry, and we're lucky to get him back. So, probably the cornerstone of having such a great manager and Jim Bloodstock, operator, and Bruce, CFO, and Tony, amazing people. And then, if you look at the people that they have around them, they're equally as, of such a high caliber, the likes of Jackson Beers and Rachel Saffer and Adam Daly. We've got Jerry St. John, who's our stadium manager, who's an amazing stadium manager. We've got great people on the farm. We've got a phenomenal farmer. On the bloodstock side, we've got working under Bruce, we've got Mary O'Neill, who's been in the industry for a long time, a great, great, great operator, and Neve O'Brien. Obviously, Georgia Everingham now works with us, and and then Tony O'Driscoll, our CFO, has got some amazing accountants that work for him and administrators. So I think, we're so lucky to have the people we've got, and that's really the key to our success, I've got no doubt.
Absolutely. The key to success is to have a tight-knit team that want to do their absolute best for the business as well. And a big part of, not necessarily directly the Newgate team, but certainly a big partner of Newgate, and that's Jason Malstenning of Trilogy Racing. Great to see them get a Group 1 winner the other day as well.
Yeah, it was great to see Trilogy, Jason and Mel get a Group 1 winner the other weekend with the Son of Russian Revolution, which was fantastic. And they're a really great part of our racing syndicate. And we've got if you talk about growth, you were talking about growth before. I think what's been amazing with Newgate is we've run a cult syndicate for the best part of 9 years, and in that period we've had 15 stallions come out of our cult syndicate. The first year we bought Russian Revolution at the Easter Yearling Sales, who was champion first and second season sire, and obviously a Group 1 sire now. And I think the second year we bought Invader, who won a Group 1, and we sold to Aquas, and horses like Cosmic Force and Captivant, who we sold to Kiora, and Wild Ruler in the Congo, Militarize, and so many others. I think we've been so lucky to have such a great group of partners partnering with us and buy these magnificent yearling colts, and we've had such a huge amount of success over the last decade with them that I think that's been an amazing, amazing part of our growth. And Mr. T.O.R. King and Ivy, the founders of China Horse Club, they've been with us from the very start. And Gavin Murphy and Matthew, very pivotal in putting the colt syndicate together, with Tom Ryan from America who runs SF Bloodstock. So it's like a people business, right? And I think what's amazing with our colts partnership is it's gone for a long period of time. We've had so many Group 1 winners. We've had 15 stallions come through the program in that period, and to be still going after a decade, it's been a great journey.
Definitely. It's been a successful little venture for sure. I'm sure at the upcoming Magic Millions sale, you will be out to look for some more stallions. But you also have a big draft at the Magic Millions this year, obviously, as Justin said earlier, over 50. It's a draft full of some of the best stallions in the country and some very well-renowned mares. Who are some of the lots that we should look out for that you think will sell well? And I guess, who are you looking forward to presenting in that draft?
Yeah, it's a great draft of horses. We've got some beautiful additions to the roster, to the draft. Actually, we're fortunate to be consigning some lovely horses from Ridgemont, as well as horses that we've raised here ourselves. Ridgemont's got a magnificent two down hot colt out of Utah, Nash, and an Animo colt that's an absolute, really, really special horse. And a Blue Sky Baby. We've got an Extreme Choice colt that's very, very high class in our draft out of Miss X Factor. We've got so many lovely, lovely horses in the draft. We've got a number of Extreme Choices. We've got Yearlings by our three new first season sires in the Congo, Artorias and State of Rest. We've got some really nice Schnitzels in the draft. We've got a colt that I think is quite exceptional out of a champion New Zealand 2-year-old called Play That Song. He's probably as good a Schnitzel colt we've ever bred on the farm. So yeah, it's always exciting, and it's always so interesting to see how these horses develop and how they change, and you know, I think it's the best group of Magic Millions horses we've ever taken to the sales. So hopefully they can sell accordingly.
As we look into the spring, we always see Newgate involved in our biggest juvenile races in the country. Is there anything that our listeners should be keeping an eye on ahead of 2026 that we might be seeing contend in races such as the Golden Slipper?
Yeah, so we've got a nice little group of two-year-olds. We haven't pushed them as hard this year on purpose. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, time will tell. The value of these colts now, you know, just took a concerted effort and made a concerted effort to try and just take them a little bit slow. Perhaps being a bit patient can pay dividends. So, but we've had a couple of horses that we've been really pleased with so far. We had a great trial winner last week, a horse called Campione d'Italia, a Schnitzel colt out of a Medaglia mare that Chris Waller trains. We're very excited about. We've got an Extreme Choice colt with the Freedmans that we like a lot, that are neck of Chintz. So there are a couple that I'd keep an eye on that I think are horses that have pretty big upsides. And we probably, I don't think we'll have any runners until the new year. That's probably been engineered that way. Looking forward to stepping a few of the good colts out.
The Brisbane Racing Club, Queensland's premier destination for horse racing, events and world-class hospitality. As a Brisbane Racing Club member, you'll enjoy exclusive perks and unforgettable experiences at one of Australia's leading racing clubs. Unlock unlimited members' reserve access across Eagle Farm and Doomben, including the thrilling 2026 Stradbroke season. Join today at brc.com.au and feel closer to the thrill, prestige and excitement of Brisbane's thoroughbred racing scene.
Looking further past the autumn, I guess the sort of theme of the episode today has been growth and the rapid growth that Newgate's made. Looking 5 years ahead, what are you hoping to achieve, and what does Newgate look in 5 years' time?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I mean, what's the industry look like in 5 years' time is more the question you've got to ask yourself, right? You've got to try and envisage what the industry is going to be like in order to try and work out what your business is going to be like. And certainly, you know, the industry, it's a great, great industry, and it's a industry that, you know, it's a very important part of the Australian culture and the fabric of life in Australia, racing and the thoroughbred industry. It's a huge employer. But I think you're probably going to see, we've seen mayor numbers drop quite a bit over the last few years. That's probably going to keep happening. I just hope that as an industry, we've seen, for example, a lot of farmers that had three or four mayors that loved the game sort of, get out of the business, which has been disappointing over the last few years. And obviously the big guys are doing very well, and the farms, the good farms are all in good shape. But certainly I hope we can see an industry that, has some growth, and I hope we can deal with some of the issues that we're dealing with currently politically, to bring some real positivity into the game. I see in North America, we do a lot of business, the optimism for the industry in North America is phenomenal. People, participants, breeders, owners, trainers, I've never seen it so positive. And I certainly think that Australia, if we can just get our act together as far as working collaboratively as an industry, we can get to that point as well. But we've certainly got a few challenges at the moment we need to work our way through.
There are definitely a number of challenges that the industry is sort of facing at the moment. I guess just touching on what you said a little bit earlier, as a large-scale stallion farm, how important do you think it is, and what do you think we could do better to support the smaller breeder who might be struggling?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. I think that, there's one thing that we need to get our head around as a breeding industry is, there's a huge amount of money that's going offshore buying horses out of Europe. And I certainly don't blame anyone for going and buying those horses. They're ready-made. Ready-made 3 and 4 year olds I can bring straight in a race, but they're sort of the competition to us selling yearlings in the market. And the issue with that is that when a trainer goes and spends, let's say, $500,000 and buys a horse in England, that $500,000 leaves our racing ecosystem forever, and it goes to England, and the horse gets bought, and the owners in England and the trainer in England get paid a lot of money for the horse, and they then reinvest back into buying yearlings in Europe. They then pay staff, stud fees, etc. It circulates back through Europe. Whereas if that money was spent on yearlings in Australia, that money stays in Australia. Most breeders in this country are owners. The breeders are at what keep the ownership levels up. Without breeders, there would be no sport, because breeders essentially put the game on. Anybody that thinks that breeders are not integral to the ownership base of Australia have got no idea about the sport, because breeders are the biggest owners from a segment point of view. They put the sport on. So, we need to be mindful, or the racing authorities need to be mindful of keeping the money in this country, so that money goes back to breeders' pockets. They can then put some fillies in training, or they can keep a share in a colt, or they can pay staff or pay training fees or whatever. And I think that's one thing which was very little thought, I think, from racing authorities about how important it is to have a thriving breeding industry. So I think that's an issue. Like, the black types situation at the moment is something which is really frustrating from my point of view. It's such a simple thing to fix. I mean, it could be fixed with rational people in a boardroom in a number of hours, but we as an industry are using it as a political football, I suppose, it's not right. I think we've got, and the irony is, we've got some of the greatest administrators. Like, some of our administrators in Australian racing are the most talented people there are in any sector of Australian business administration. We're very fortunate to have the leadership we've got, but these are challenges that we need to iron out, because it shouldn't be this way. And you know, certainly, you know, we've got an industry that's, you know, that's it's a huge industry. It's an industry that we, you know, we've all got so much invested in. It's our livelihood. And, you know, the challenges that we need to deal with.
Here's hoping it is resolved very shortly. It's certainly an uncertain time in the industry, but yeah, hopefully it's all coming to a close soon. But we'll finish off on a bit more of a positive note with our Fast Five segment. It's just five quick fire questions to answer off the top of your head. We'll kick off with do you have a personal favourite of your stallions?
Extreme Choice.
What's been your most memorable moment in the ring, whether it be buying or selling?
Probably selling our first $1 million yearling.
Absolutely. If you weren't involved with Thoroughbreds, what do you think you'd be doing with your life?
I think I would probably be working. I'd probably be a property owner.
A lot of our listeners obviously attend the sales circuit. What's your favourite restaurant going around?
I'm a big fan of Mama San.
It's very much a good one. And what is one piece of advice you'd give to someone starting in the industry or wanting to breed their first horse?
Do your homework, deal with good people, and try and buy the best mare you can buy and breed to the best stallion you can afford.
Love it. So everyone, please send your mare to Extreme Choice.
Exactly.
Henry, thank you so much for coming on today. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day, especially during a busy period with lots of inspections going on. We wish you the best of luck for 2026, both on the track and in the barn, and we'll definitely be catching you around at the upcoming sales.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.